Kyler Zukowski. Excuse me, Austin Folly. Kyler Zukowski on deck. Folly 0 for 2. Setting in his Whitcamp. He kicks high, winds, and a swing and a shallow bouncer. Degatti comes to charge it at third, and the throw across the diamond is right on the money. So Jorge Degatti making plays. And now bottom of the order, Kyler Zukowski, who also grounded out to Degatti at third his last time up. He's 0 for 2 with a strikeout. Wisconsin Rapids looking to retire the side in three batters. Whitcamp serves up on a ball up above the zone, 1-0. Two down. Here, bottom seven. A 1-0 count. Looking in his Whitcamp and serves up on a one ball count low of the zone. At a ball 2-0. 2-0 count. One away. Bottom seven. Right down the plate this time. And a strike 2-1. Whitcamp looking for his first strikeout. He's done his job, though. And then works up on a fastball outside, 3-1. So Zukowski, their Creighton Blue Jay, teammates of former Rafters, Vitak, Haligzo, and Sailors, but he'll see ball four. He'll get to first. That puts us in the top of the order. Cooper Kelly flew out to left, struck out, swinging last two times up. 0 for 3. Whitcamp looks, serves, and up on a check swing from Kelly, and it comes in on a strike, 0-1. So 0-1 count. At first is Zukowski. Rafters have gotten in front in the top of the second. They've never looked back. Two runs in the second, two runs in the fourth, and then three runs in the seventh. Two-run home runs from Brewer and Gallison. And the 0-2 home, low of the zone at a ball 1-2. So a ball, two strikes, two down. The count runs at 1-2. The 1-2 from Whitcamp and a swing and a bouncer. Johnson comes to charge it at second and underhands it in the glove to Brewer. Getting down Zukowski. What a play there for Ty Johnson. We head to the top of the eighth. Rafters in front, 7-1.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
What's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Top of the eighth inning, 7-1. The Rafters in front. They have just looked unbelievable today. Joey Fear with you here on this sunny afternoon in Ashwaubenon. As, you know, we look at it, it's just been a game where defensively, you know, they've looked better on just both sides of the ball. You know, nine hits, seven runs, but defensively, they just really locked it down. And Tyler Horvath back on the mound. We'll face Anthony Gallison, who's had a base hit, a two-run home run in the right field in the fourth. And then he grounded out into a double play, a 4-6-3 double play. So the count is 1-0. And setting in as Gallison hits a high fly ball carrying into the right field side. And that ball stay fair, and it does. A solo home run for Anthony Gallison as the Rafters in front, 8-1. 8-1. His second home run of the day. What about it? So Anthony Gallison carries that ball into the right field side, just stays fair. Second home run of the day. So Kyle Carlson is due up. What about that? Gallison 3-for-4, 3 runs and 3 RBIs. As Carlson will see in low, that put a ball 1-0. So 1-0 count. Rafters in front 8-1. They've out hit Green Bay 10-3. Horvath looks, and the 1-0 popped out back behind home plate into the netting. 1-1. So Anthony Gallison, 2 home runs, a 2-run shot, and then a solo shot. And the 1-1 pitch straight down the plate at a strike, 1-2. Six home runs combined between the two teams in these two games, this series. All of them in the right field. You can see why. And the 1-2 up above the zone at a 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Ten hits to 3. Looking in is Horvath. He'll kick high, the 2-2. Swing and a miss. Carlson goes after and up top. Strikes out swinging. As Kyle Carlson, he struck out 3 times today. 8-4 now. A 2-run home run. A strikeout swinging and a pop out to second. Horvath will bend in low. He's at 23 pitches, giving up 3 hits, 3 runs. And 3 of those came earned and a strikeout. And there's a strike that time, 0-1. So 0-1 is the count. And with 1 gone, Brewer will see and check low. And first base umpire said he did fully come across. 0-2. So no balls, 2 strikes. Horvath with 1 gone. The 0-2 to Brewer. And can't find the strike zone of the fastball, 1-2. How about Aiden Brewer? His first home run came in the second. A 2-run shot into right center. The ball, 2 strikes now. 1 down. Horvath looks. The 1-2 to Brewer. And up above the strike zone. He can't work that in, and it's 2-2. So 2 balls, 2 strikes. The 2-2 home. Swing and a miss. Brewer goes after it up top. And that is the second out. So back-to-back strikeouts for Horvath. Both have come swinging. And Levi Jensen now. He's due up. Got a base hit, struck out swinging, and was also walked. So Jensen the catcher. A decent day for him. One away, top of the eighth. Horvath looks, sets in high and throws above the zone 1-0. 10 hits for the Rafters. They've really come alive in all aspects. Two errors, though, but it has not slowed them down. Jensen will see the second offering. And once again, Horvath really can't find the strike zone. He sets in a pitch high again. Levi Jensen, a catcher today and the reliable catcher, the North Alabama product, and a returning Rafter, and he pops this up. Fouled side and goes above and coming after it and not making the grab is Hernandez. I'm not going to lie, my stomach dropped there for a second. I thought that ball was popping up right towards me. It looked like it had the certainly the carry on it, but it just kind of drifted back in just barely. So Hernandez wasn't able to track it down. Two balls and a strike. Two gone. The count is 2-1. Horvath bends in low and delivers on Jensen, flies this out right side. Two and two. Two balls, two strikes, and two down. Horvath will look in once more. He's had two strikeouts, 32 pitches. He's given up three hits, three runs. They're 2-2 to Jensen. Lower the zone at a ball, 3-2. One away. Count is full here on the catcher. Horvath, he'll set. Kick and a full count serve and a swing and a shallow ground ball over to Kelly at short. Fields it up quickly in the throw to first and he gets Levi Jensen for the third out. So we head to the bottom of the eighth. Anthony Gallison, a solo shot, puts the Rafters in front 8-1. As we head to the bottom eighth, we'll step aside on WFHR.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
You're constantly rubbing your hands and wrists. The aches and pains just won't go away. But they can with help from Wisconsin River Orthopedics. Call on their experts, one of the certified specialists on their hand team. From surgery to therapy, Wisconsin River Orthopedics has it all. If you've been injured or suffer from pain in your hands, back, knees, ankles, or more, go to WROInstitute.com to learn about all they can do for you. From surgery to therapy, they have it all under one roof. At Wisconsin River Orthopedics in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mom used to scream about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy till Mom went to Al-Anon. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Bottom of the eighth inning. So Rafters in front 8-1. A solo shot in the top half of this inning from Anthony Gallison. Was able to keep that ball fair just on the first base line. So the DH, A.J. Anzai, 2 for 3. He's been in a bright spot. Responsible for 2 of the 3 hits for Green Bay today. As he flies this out right side. No balls a strike. Here on Anzai. Out of Chapman. And a check swing up top. So 2-2, so 1-1 count, and he flies this out left side again. A lot of foul balls we've seen this game, 2 balls and a strike. So pretty interesting for the Raptors tomorrow. It's actually, I mean, the week you look at it, after the 2-1 comes in and a swing and a miss low, and Jensen just tags him, that was, I guess, the third strike. It came in as it was 2-1. I guess that's the third strike. So Anzai goes down. Whitcamp strikes him out. So JoJo Jackson, he'll step in now and 0-for-3. But, yeah, so Raptors after today, yeah, the 105 game today. Tomorrow, it's that game that's going to be made up from Thursday, pushed into a doubleheader tomorrow. But instead of it being 2-7, since they already started the game on Wednesday, they played a half inning. They're going to pick up in the bottom of the first as a swing and a bouncer over to Johnson, who charges it at second. The throw across his body to first and does not get him in time. Jackson gets there now, and there's a hit for Green Bay. So they'll play 8.5 innings, and then the second game they'll play at, well, about 30 minutes after the first, which will they'll play 7 innings. And then Tuesday, they have the day off. And then Wednesday, they're back at Athletic Park again. So after this, their next 3 games are at Wausau, and they're all at Athletic Park. As Whitcamp, the first serve, as a ball lifted high and carrying back. Once again, I thought that ball was coming near me once again. I mean, that hit the top of the roof. But had a chance there. So no balls a strike. Oh, 1 count with 1 down. At first is Jackson. Whitcamp over to Holman. And a ball, 1-1. A ball and a strike with 1 gone. Jackson at first, and looks off there now. Whitcamp, he'll set. Jackson on his way to second as a swing, and a ball popped up in the air towards center. Lordoy to make the grab, and couldn't see it. He could not see it, as now he throws to second now, and gets to Brewer, and gets Jackson. What about, that was an odd play. So ball skied in the air. Lordoy couldn't see it due to the sun. Jackson was on his way to second as soon as that ball was hit. Saw it was going to Lordoy, which would seem like a routine out. Retreated back to first. Ball dropped in front of Lordoy because he couldn't see it. Then picked it up and threw to Brewer as Jackson then had to go back to second. So nonetheless, they get the out. But this time it's Jackson who gets thrown out at second. Holman gets on base on a fielder's choice. Put one away. And bottom of the eighth. And Whitcamp will set high, and the 1-0 swinged in low, and a ball 2-0. Two balls, no strikes. 2 down. A 2-ball count and a swing and a liner towards Johnson at second. Underhands it to Brewer and tags the bag in time before Holman can get there. So we head to the top of the ninth. Raptors in front, 8-1. Last inning coming up here at WFHR.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Air conditioner not running? Make a call to the bullpen for the experts at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. As a Bryant Factory authorized dealer, our team will do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. We'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortair.biz.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning as Wisconsin Rapids an 8-1 lead. They've gotten at least a run in their past two innings, three runs in the seventh, a run in the eighth. But you take it back to the top of the second, a two-run shot from Brewer, and then a two-run shot in the fourth from Gallison. Three runs in the seventh, and then a solo home run from Gallison once more in the right field. So they've out-hit Green Bay 10-4 at this point. The question is, will they keep with Whitcamp? It looks like nobody's warming up in the bullpen, so I think they're going to stay with Whitcamp to finish out this game. Bryce Crabb, the new pitcher, in for the Rockers, a guy that's appeared in eight games, 0-2 record, 12 innings of work, 21 hits, 13 runs, 12 strikeouts for him, 7.5 ERA, out of Pleasant Hill, Iowa, from the University of Northwestern St. Paul, out in Minnesota. Played for the Minnesota Mud Puppies back in 2021. As Crabb throws outside for a ball, 2-1. Ty Johnson, he's in now and sees a ball outside. Johnson 0-2 with a run. He's been walked twice, grounded out to short, and also grounded out to second. Crabb shakes it off. The fourth pitcher out of the bullpen, and Johnson swings and misses at that one, 3-2. So the count runs full, three balls, two strikes. Crabb, the payoff, and a swing and a liner that goes right into the glove of Kelly. Bends down low at the knee and makes a grab. So a line drive goes right into the glove of the shortstop, and Jorge Degatti, 1-for-3 with a run. His last two at-bats, he's gotten a hit and a walk. He flew out to right in his first two. So Crabb, but a changeup and down the plate, 0-1. Great bounce back win for the Rafters. As a team that Degatti hits a high fly ball carrying into right center. And that goes off the top of the wall. That ball's gone. A solo home run for Jorge Degatti, his first of the season. As the Rafters in front 9-1. They build on this lead. That ball was carrying back. I thought that was just before the wall, but the wind helped into center field. Jorge Degatti, a solo shot, 9-1. How about it? The Indiana Hoosier So now, Brendan Bobo, it's your turn. Three straight strikeouts, and then he got a two RBI double. He'll see a strike, 0-1. Nine to one as Bobo flies his back left side. Four home runs today. You've had Burr with a home run, Gallison with two of them, and Degatti with a fourth one. The 0-2 down low and brushes in the dirt for a ball, 1-2. So a ball, two strikes, one gone. Inside, the 1-2 to Bobo. Up above in a 2-2 count. So two balls, two strikes. And a 2-2 from Crabb. And boy, that brushed below the zone for a ball this time, and the count runs full. A huge win for this team. And a 3-2 and bounce low. But I tell you, Jorge Degatti, great to see him with his first home run. Aiden Brewer gets his first home run of the season. Bryce Crabb, the payoff. Way outside of the zone, and Bobo gets walked. So Bobo to first, and Orlando Lordoy, who had a one-run RBI double to bring in Bobo home from second. Lordoy, 1-for-4 with an RBI. Setting in. Yep, and a changeup is Crabb. In four strike, 0-1. This win would put the Raptors back at 11-11, 500 overall in the second half. And Lordoy sees the ball out side of the zone for a two ball count. Bobo at first. Crabb, the 2-1 to Lordoy, and a bouncer towards the shortstop. Kelly steps on second, the throw to first. And there is a double play there from Cooper Kelly. He's made a lot of good plays there. So we head to the bottom of the ninth, 9-1. A solo home run from Jorge Degatti. We'll be back here for the bottom of the ninth as Raptors looking to close this game out.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to. Or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
To the bottom of the ninth we go. 9-1, Rafters in front as they've out-hit the Rockers 11-4. Mitchell Whitcamp on the mound once more. He'll face Mateo Matthews as he evens up the count at one apiece. But just three outs away from splitting this series and winning their final game at Capital Credit Union Park for the regular season. As Matthews hits a high pop-up into the infield, Johnson runs under it, sees it, and makes the catch. So two away. Zane Zielinski now, 0-3. So he got on base via an error from DeGatti. Flew out to right and lined out to short. So Whitcamp sets in. And there's a fastball right down the plate. No one won. But a big win for this team. A feel-good type, bounce-back type of win. You know, haven't been played a game since, a full game since Sunday. And yet, obviously, the three-day All-Star break, that happens for everybody. But then a rainout Thursday, a rainout Friday, and then just getting dominated yesterday, a sluggish game for them. And, you know, they got their first win since Sunday. But when you look at that, like, yes, it's the first win since Sunday, but it's basically they've only played two complete games. So Wausau is down 4-2 right now in the bottom of the eighth to Lakeshore. Rafters will have them tomorrow for a doubleheader. And the 0-2 swings in low at a ball 1-2. So right now, I mean, when you look at it, Fond du Lac took down Madison. Both those teams stand at 14-11. And the 1-2, a little bit low, again, brushes down on the turf, 2-2. Rafters sit at 11-11. With this win pending, they get two more outs, but I would bank on them doing so. 2-2 and a swing and a ground ball over to Johnson at second. Scoops it up and the throw to first on a routine ground out for one away. So Austin Folley, perhaps the final batter of the afternoon. So, yeah, I mean, the Rafters, their next three games are all at Athletic Park. A doubleheader tomorrow, an off day on Tuesday, and then another game at Athletic Park on Wednesday. And then they have a home game on Thursday against Fond du Lac. They're on the road against Fond du Lac on Friday, and then they're at home for a doubleheader against Wausau on Saturday. So they're going to be seeing the Woodchucks quite a bit here coming up. They see him six times. Four of those games are at Athletic Park. So two balls, a strike. Setting in is Whitcamp. And a 2-1 and a swing and a ground ball over to DeGatti. Scoops it up in the glove, has all the time in the world, and throws to Broussard for the final out of the night. Wisconsin Rapids wins and dominates this game as they win 9-1. They out-hit Green Bay 11-4. A big game on both sides of the ball for this team. Four home runs, a home run from Brewer, two from Gallison, and then one from DeGatti. A team that just consistently played well through all nine innings. They got into an early lead in the second, and they get their final win of their regular season time here at Capital Credit Union Park. They split the series with Green Bay. They get back to 500, 11-11 in the second half. So a team that needed a feel-good type, bounce-back type of win, they certainly got it. And it played well on both sides of the ball. So that is how you respond after a game yesterday in which they lost 7-2. So we look at this game and we say, well, yes, offensively, 9 runs, 11 hits, but the pitching, we're going to give our hats off to Bryson Parrish. 6 innings of work, allowed 3 hits, a run, and 9 strikeouts for him. Rafters only went 2 pitchers out of the bullpen, Parrish and Whitcamp. So Bryson Parrish, a big day for the Florence, Alabama native, and credit to him for consistently being on top of it through the entire six innings he played. So Wisconsin Rapids, they're going to head back to Rapids tonight, and then they have a doubleheader in Athletic Park at Wausau tomorrow. First pitch is at 4:05, as we'll be taking that game from the bottom of the first. So we'll be live at 3:50 on WFHR, but for a Wisconsin Rapids Raptors win, for everybody there at the players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at the studio at WFHR for making this whole production possible, my name is Joey Fear, saying so long from Green Bay. We'll see you tomorrow in Wausau. Have a good rest of your day, everybody.
We're letting Kristen pick bumper music now, and I think she's doing a great job. We're just adding more and more duty. First, we made you chief morale officer. Now you're a fine purveyor of bumper music for us. What don't
it's
you do?
It's fun. I actually, so, like, as I'm listening to tunes, I'm thinking, oh, that would be good bumper music.
Very nice.
And all then right. I send you a text.
And you do. And I just say, yes, ma'am, whatever you need. So less work for me. I'll take it. This is Hometown Health, as we do most Thursdays at 7:30, where Dr. Lyerly helps introduce us to somebody whose job involves improving community health in some way, shape, or form. And this time it's about financial health. And so, Kristen, tell us why you picked that and set up and welcome our guest.
Well, this Kristen is so excited to welcome another Kristen who just happens to be a retirement income certified professional, an estate planning educator, a municipal leader in Appleton, and dare I say, a Wisconsin Democratic Party up and comer. She's a former candidate for state Senate. Kristen Elfheim, welcome.
Kristen, good morning.
Good morning to you too. Good to see your faces.
You as well.
Right back at you. Yeah. Now, we're focusing on financial wellness this morning. So in order to be financially well, you really have to be financially literate. What
yes.
does that mean? And how are Wisconsinites doing with regards to financial literacy?
Horribly. I'll just kick that out right away. You know, I've been in this business since 1999. And I spent the bulk of my career educating or teaching agents and advisors how to be agents and advisors. So I understand going from a zero knowledge base up to where you need to be. I switched over about 5 years ago into just doing estate planning and working with pre-retirees. And what I can tell you is the lack of knowledge on the basics of tax and strategies that are out there is truly zero. The people just don't know, not to say that nobody does, but the amount of lack of knowledge is just really outstanding. So we have to start doing something. And my biggest issue is it's generational. So if I'm talking to a 72-year-old that really had no idea what they were doing, that means they probably have a 52-year-old that has no idea what they're doing. And that 52-year-old probably has a 30-year-old that has no idea what they're doing. And guess what? That 30-year-old has a 2-year-old that's going to have no idea what they're doing. So we have to start talking about it.
So do you think that this is a new problem? I mean, things have obviously gotten much more complicated over time. When you look at all the different retirement options, you know, you've got IRAs and Roth IRAs and 401ks and all of these complicated vehicles. So for the 72-year-old, it was a different situation than it was for the 30-year-old.
Well, it's a different situation for everybody. You have to remember back in, you know, up until the late or the early 90s, people would retire with pensions. So the generations before us didn't really have to worry about this. My grandfather had church bonds in an envelope in his freezer. He had CDs, he had church bonds, and he had a pension, he had Social Security, and he lived happily ever after. That's not the case anymore. So it isn't a matter of necessarily us losing it over time. It's that we never had to focus on it, because it was done for us. It was very automatic. So there's really a shortage of information, because this is a new thing. All of this is new. 401ks are new, if you think about it. So there, yes, it's a dynamic industry. There's a lot of discussion to be had, but a lot of it is not people's fault. Our grandfathers never had to question it.
No,
just
but
had
our,
a handful of novels.
But our grandfathers and grandmothers also knew that they had something called a passbook savings account. And at that savings account, if you just put some money in there, you didn't need IRAs and everything else. If you just put it in the bank, in your local bank, what were you going to get? 5%. You know what you get now from your bank? You get a big old goose egg. If you're lucky, you maybe get what? 0.03% or something like that. So the marketplace itself has kind of foisted that on all of us to look for ways. It's turned our financial planning in some ways into a casino, that you're looking for this return on investment and everything else. So there is this need for more knowledge. So, you know, now that we've set up why there is this need, you know, because we can't change the marketplace. We can't change the way things are. We're not bringing pensions back next week, unfortunately. And I could go off, you know, for a while on that, but we have what we have. We need experts like you to do that. And so when you look at it from, say, a public health level, what are the kinds of things that we can do to improve our financial literacy?
Well, I think we have to start getting this in schools. Again, it would be easy to say we should work on this at home, but if the people at home don't know how to teach or what to teach, or heaven forbid, they've bought into a certain concept that is not necessarily holistic, it's not good for us. So really, I'm a believer in getting conversations going, getting financial literacy going in school as early as we can and ongoing, because there is no option but to play with money as we become adults. We don't have an option. So we have to start making understanding how to manage ourselves from the schools on. I think a financial literacy, you know, some type of mandate going in, adding it into math class, something that starts the vocabulary young when we're able to, the concepts, and then advance it so that we can understand how to control ourselves in the future.
How do we do that?
Well, it seems to be a challenge. I've been for 10 years trying to get financial literacy part of the public school, actually all school curriculum for 10 years. 10 years! And the challenge is, there's always a challenge, right? The challenge is, who's going to pay for it? How are we going to add it in? All of these things are challenges. I understand that and I respect that. I think that schools must be funded adequately. But we can't keep pushing the problem down the line. It's already been over a decade and we haven't done it. Now, there are some voluntary programs out there, but I'm a big supporter of, now is the time to get this financial literacy. It's a half a credit. It's a start. But the Assembly Bill on Financial Literacy can get pushed through, even if that means they have to compromise. Governor Evers wants to increase spending on education. Awesome. We need that. You all know that. The Republicans want to push through financial literacy. Can't we find a way to make that work together?
And yet, the governor put that in his budget proposal.
I know.
And Republicans took it out this week.
Right, I know. It's ridiculous. And yet they both want it. I'm so tired of the nonsense.
Oh, we've been hearing this from Republican legislators, like you said, for over a decade. I mean, wait, I was in there 15 years ago and they were talking about it then. And I agreed with them then. But apparently it has to be done out of the goodness of, you know, the private sector, who's going to come in and do it. I don't know if that's what they're looking for, but stop telling us you want financial literacy that our kids need to learn while you're saying no to the tools to get them there.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, I'm not against the concept of, there are outside providers that have it all ready to go. So the challenge of, it's going to take money to develop the curriculum and this and that, that's not really true. So I don't think it needs as much funding as could, you know, as being argued, but listen, we ask for, I think, a credit and a half of Phi Ed in order to graduate high school. And we have a half a credit for health, no credits for financial literacy. None.
All of the common sense. Yeah, all of the common sense stuff that we need to be able to live our lives in this complex environment. This is really, it's so important. And there's a bill. There's a bill, AB 109. It's the Mandated Financial Literacy in Schools bill. And you've been a real proponent of this bill. Can you talk a little bit about the contents of the bill?
Yeah, again, we've been working on this for about 10 years, and it's been changed. Last year, it got close. The contention was it was a full credit, and that might be too much to ask for. So this year, the sponsors cut it down to a half. It really just says it's necessary. To graduate from high school, it will be necessary to take a half a credit of this financial literacy program. And from there, the parameters are not perfectly set, let's be honest. But we want to have the baseline of education. There are third parties that have these programs ready to go. You could just literally pump them in any teacher. The challenge is where to put them and the funding on that. And again, as I testified in Madison, it's not me for me to say how you're going to make it happen. But I am the one down here telling you we need it desperately. So somehow, some way, get over it and make it happen. We have got to get the bill in so then we can solve the problem of how we're going to do it. But first we have to say yes.
Yes. And you said the bill is close.
So here's
my question. On Hometown Health, we're always thinking about the intersection of health, including financial health and politics, with a focus on building community. And that means that this is an opportunity for our listeners to get engaged and to do some advocacy work of their own in their own communities. So how can our listeners get involved here?
Yeah, this is one that I think we can help. I think that our base on this station tends to have a lean, and and that lean is pro-education, right? Mm-hmm. And I am pro-education, and most of you listening are pro-education. So I'm asking you to reach out to your representatives, to your senators, whatever side they may be on, and even the ones you love, and tell them the importance. We must be able to get it through and make it part of our curriculum in order to then move forward and start having discussions about the continuing conversation of funding. We can't wait. We have to get it in there and work together. So we need you to reach out to your locals, whether they're blue, whether they're red, whether they're purple, whether they're rainbow. I don't care. Everyone needs to hear from us that we believe the need for financial literacy comes first. Let's get it on our docket. And then let's start solving the problem, making sure there's enough dollars around to take care of everybody in the future.
Spoken like a former candidate, spoken what? Like a potential future candidate. That instead of just caterwauling, why don't we actually work on substantive ways to move forward that are not, they're neither Democratic nor Republican.
Mm-mm. Exactly my point. This is just common sense. What's good for this is about people, right? There is not a single child in this state that would not benefit from this program. Not one. And if you think this is just a low-income issue, you're wrong. Okay. The more money that's out there, the less concern for it that exists, which means just as much education is needed in that category. Every child, every future resident needs it.
Let's take it to a real-world level in this day and age. Obviously, one piece of advice you could give people would be to consult with a financial planner, talk to an expert about it. But when you do talk to folks, is there like a most common mistake or a most common fix that a lot of households can make or do?
I think the most common mistake that I see is actually the 401k bombs. It's a tax issue. Now, don't get me wrong. Love retirement. Love automatic contributions into retirement plans. Love all the options. Love free money given from a company to add to yours. All of that is good, and we should be taking advantage. But what we don't realize is the consequence of all of our money being in the bucket of don't touch it till you're after 59 and a half, and it's all going to be taxable then. So the strategizing of different types of money, different tax registration classes, what you can use when, and then how to map that out through time. The distribution of a retirement plan, in my opinion, is ignored. You're ignoring what money will I spend when. And if the only type of money you have is a great big or medium or small 401k, that constricts the options that you have in terms of retirement, whether you want to go early, whether you want to make sure it's there long. Everything is constrained by the tax registration class. So education in terms of what's out there, what is your situation? There is no generic plan for retirement distribution planning. It's, in my opinion, just as much art as it is science. But you have to start with a foundation of broader buckets so that you have the options to do what you need to when the time comes and people don't realize it. They just smash it all into their 401k. And then I got to figure out how to get it all out without causing chaos.
I think she'd make I think I have a new expert to go to. So here, take
what else you want to talk about? This is fun.
Well, we're gonna have to do this again then. So you can reach Kristen Alfheim on Facebook and in LinkedIn in those ways. And Kristen Lyerly, thanks for finding your friend Kristen Alfheim to bring her in today.
How can I not, when I know that there is a human being like Kristen Alfheim out there in the world, how can I not help to elevate this really critically important message? You mm-hmm. have to plan for your future financial life. You can't just rely on the government and think it's all going to be okay.
Very much so. Kristen, thanks again. Appreciate it so much. Dr. Lyerly is going to stick around when we talk to Luke Mathers coming up to wrap up our conversation and talk about civic media programming into the weekend after this. Live from Oshkosh, you're up north.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
All right, we've got to wrap up this Star Wars day, of course, with, you know, the big victory scene. And actually, it's called The Throne Room is what this particular music cut is called, which I don't think was very artfully named. Because I think maybe in the UK, the throne room is called one thing. Charles is going to use that in a couple of days here.
Right.
The throne room here comes with a different meaning, which brings us to Luke Mathers. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I'm good. Yourself? It's when they're getting their medals. They're in the throne. They're walking down the
Great
Hall.
I get it. Yeah.
It's fitting. Don't mess with John Williams. Come on. Like that, he can name whatever he wants, whatever he wants.
I want to turn the show over to Aaron from this point on, you know, because you should have heard all of his Star Wars knowledge during the first hour. He did. And to his great credit, he didn't just hit you right in the face with the Luke, I am your father soundbite. He could have.
I am the father.
There we go.
Yeah, I've gotten it once or twice.
Looks great. You've never heard that before. Never ever.
Just a couple times.
Yeah.
Growing up, my favorite was my mom. If I missed a call, that's how she would leave the voicemails. She would be like doing the Vader voice and Luke, this is your mother.
No. Tell me you saved at least one of those.
Oh, I think that was like six phones ago, so I don't think so. But that was definitely one of her favorite little lines to do when I wasn't answering my cell phone.
That is awesome. So like I said, Aaron has all kinds of expertise. Where do we find you on the Star Wars spectrum of fandom?
Pretty casual fan in that one. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan, but not diehard, knowing all of the extended cuts. I'm pretty bad, actually. I haven't even got around to seeing Rogue One yet, or some of these spinoffs with the Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I haven't seen Solo. I highly recommend Rogue One. I think that's a
what everybody tells me, but I've been there's just a couple two three things happening in my life. I haven't been sitting around a whole lot of movies.
I totally get that, but when you realize, as the movie gets on, that it basically is the stuff that takes place immediately before the original Star Wars movie in 1977, it adds a degree of anticipation to it all. All right, so we'll get off of that. Now I feel like we need a Star Trek day. I'm sure there's Trekkies out there going, hey, wait a minute.
I think there is
Kirk,
one.
Spock, the whole gang out there. So
with all of the different days there are out there,
there's
got to
be a Star Trek day.
There is a Star Trek day.
Yes. This friend that I was talking to yesterday who lives here in Oshkosh, she was asking, because I really liked Star Trek Next Generation, she assumed I was watching Picard. And I told her, no, I got a couple of episodes in, and it was actually, not that I'm entirely against, violence, but it was actually a little bit more violent. The thing about Star Trek was, they were always solving these. It was much more cerebral, There aren't lightsabers in Star Trek. And this one kind of wasn't that. So
it's a lot more logic in
it's only logical.
The Vulcan, the Vulcan way. Yeah.
Yes. The Vulcan mind melder, as we call it, here, being a wife, where they know what you're thinking. Look at Kristen, didn't take the bait on that at all. Wow.
You're all cerebral with the Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Yeah, we've
prefer the logical, really thought oriented.
No, give me the lightsabers every day. I'm all about the lightsabers, the Force.
I was waiting for you to chip in and go, wait a minute, wait, where's rom-com day? Why do we have to do science fiction all the time?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm a documentary gal. I'll watch documentaries all day long, especially if they're about music.
Oh, I know a couple of people that really love music document. Do you have a favorite? And I have one in my mind. Do you have a favorite?
The Foo Fighters did a whole series where they went to different cities and they explored the history of those cities. And then they produced a song in that city with a local legend. That's my favorite.
I thought, and maybe it's just because I'm older, I thought for sure you would have gone with the Eagles documentary.
I do like the Eagles. Yeah.
I mean, that one, it's just stellar. I liked one that Chicago did, but of course it was self-made. So it was very fluffy. Luke, Aaron, either one of you have a favorite music documentary?
I haven't really been big on it. I like documentaries. Music documentaries haven't been. I watch the political. I like the everything around the food system. There were several docuseries on Netflix with it's called Rotten. Oh, like those things, I could sit and watch for hours. But I'll have to see the Foo Fighters one. Dave Grohl's The Storyteller was my favorite book that I read last year, and it was tremendous. And so I assume that the Foo Fighters documentary is very good as well then, so I'm going to have to check that one out.
All right, Aaron?
Do it.
Yeah, for me, it is The Decline of Western Civilization. yes, that is a music documentary. It's about the punk scene in the late 70s and early 80s, and it just shows such a good picture, such an inside look at what it was like to either be in a punk band at that time or go to those shows. And you can really see all the different clashing strong personalities and why some of those people turned out the way they did.
Got it. Okay. Well, look at all these recommendations we've given to folks. And now we turn to what Mr. Mathers normally joins us for, is to tell us that there are so many other fine programs along the Civic Media Radio Network, including his own Dueling Tangents in the afternoon. The one thing you mention all the time that you don't have to this time is because I'm here at Oshkosh Air Support. We've mentioned a time or two. This is where you hear Brewers baseball. So, and again, great studio. Can't wait till the finishing touches are here. It's going to be great. But what else do you want to tell us about for Civic Media this week?
Yeah, well, I don't know all the details, but there was a tease that went out across social media last night. Kristen Bry's got some information to share at 11:30, so you're going to want to tune in to As Goes Wisconsin. I don't even know what the details are. So
maybe this other Kristen can tell us something about Kristen Bry's As Goes Wisconsin.
Can say that at noon we'll be talking even more about it.
Oh, there you go.
Really? So is there a guest on Kristen's show that we should know about?
Yeah, Kristen and I are doing a whole thing for Women's Health Month in May. So at noon every Thursday, we're going to talk about women's health topics. And we're going to debunk myths, and we're going to use real words like vulva.
Do you feel us losing her? Do you feel her kind of, it's almost like her voice is trailing as the tractor beam from
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.